It is an honor to be here, and we're very humbled, very grateful. Let's just trust that the perfect one says whatever he needs to say perfectly to every heart and every mind, and that he increases and strengthens us, that we can live and do his will. So we're glad to be here. You want to say something, sweetie?
No, I'll wait.
Okay. What size is my shoe? Yeah. Michael said something after praise and worship and before we began to move through the service, but he was talking about the Lord. He was talking about the name of the Lord. And it sparked some thoughts in my heart that I'm going to share with you. I feel like at this stage in my life, the most important thing that I could do is encourage people in their personal walk with the Lord Jesus. And so, you know, it's refreshing to me to come and minister to the Lord with you in song. It was great to see what Deborah read out of Psalm 139. I don't know why she skipped those other verses, but it was great to see what she read. But beyond that, beyond what she read, was the sincerity and the integrity of her heart that came through the words that she spoke. So that encourages me. I know many of you from years gone by, and I know you've stayed by the stuff, you've stood strong, you've endured, and that in it all, your relationship with the Lord has not flagged or grown weary or weakened. You probably have questions about why life has gone like it's gone in some cases, but that's part of the human condition. So I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 14, and I'm going to try to present a few thoughts to you, and then we'll see what happens. You know that probably as much harm is done by Christians having a strong relationship with each other is as much done as Christians having weak relationships with each other, because the central piece that holds us all together is our own personal relationship with the Lord. So if our relationship with each other is stronger than our relationship with him, we begin to misuse each other. If our relationship with each other does not reflect our relationship with him, if it's weaker than our relationship with him, then we begin to misuse each other. So the same fruit comes. You can go around the house this way, you can go around the house that way, but you still end up at the wrong door to get in. You have to have your relationship with Jesus be the primary foundation of your life, and it has to be as full and as free as you can possibly make it, because it's what you gain from him that you take and that you share with other people that causes his presence and causes his life to be here. That's not rocket science, but you'd be surprised how many believers do get lost in that thought. And it's awkward to go to a church where whatever its configuration is and not know anybody and not feel like you fit. It's awkward to do that and to push past that awkwardness and get to know someone. But while it might not be awkward to come and gather with your friends or your family every week, if you begin to look at them as mere human beings, if you begin to see them, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, just to know them after the flesh, that too is very damning and destructive, because it loses the spiritual strength and the integrity of the life of Christ. So somehow in all of this, I believe in the day and age that we live in, there's got to be a purposed renewal of love, like you said, being intentional, but it's got to come excuse me, from our purposed relationship with him first. And that means sometimes asking him the hard questions. That means sometimes learning when he says no. There's all sorts of different dynamics to it, but it does mean shaving the religion and the taught expectations off that relationship, so that you really know him for yourself, personally and intimately, deeply, that no matter what anybody else says, you know he's real, you know he's involved in your life, you know where the boundaries are. Because there are boundaries in every one of our relationships with the Lord, just like there are boundaries with each other. There are things he expects us to do. There are things he doesn't want us to do. And if you went and asked your friends around the body of Christ in town, you might find out that most of them don't really have any thought about where the boundaries in their relationships are with the Lord. They don't know where it stops at. They don't know where it starts. They don't know what's expected out of them. They don't know who to be. They don't know what they can count on him to do. And that's where we're going to read these verses right here in John chapter 14. It says in John chapter 14, verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Now we're going to look at these two verses in a second, but I'm going to tell you a story. I don't think I've ever told you this. Years ago, when we put our two groups together down in Victoria, back in that foreign country called Vancouver Island, that there is a great chasm fixed between us. We had in our group, we had all sorts of people, and there were, even for a small group, an inordinate number of people who were there because there just wasn't somewhere else to go. They were there because, actually there were probably over the years, it would have been about a half a dozen different ministers that were there who were broken and disappointed and disillusioned in their ministry. So they were there, and Gene, help me with this if I mess this up, but while they were sincere about their walk in the Lord, they had things in their life they wouldn't face or they wouldn't deal with. Before it was all over with, over about a 7-year period, I think we probably had four of them die, and then another one of the fellows just basically got up and walked off and left his wife. The rest of the church looks at this and they say, "What's the matter with these people that God can't come through on their behalf?" But the truth is that we all have things we carry in our heart that if we don't face them, if we don't deal with them, they can not only lead us astray for a time, but they can absolutely in the end destroy our lives if we don't learn how to be honest with ourselves and honest in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Well, for a lot of reasons, and I'm sure Jesus is listening, but I don't really regret having done this. One of these fellows was sick, and he died. He died about 6 or 7 months later. He died of cancer, and he was kind of a prickly fellow. He was hard to have a relationship with, but when he got sick, I committed myself to believe in God with him and to stand with him and to speak the word of God to him. And probably over that 6 or 7 months, he died on Christmas Day. And we found out he was sick the end of May. I was out of town when I came back. So probably from mid-May until Christmas Day, there wouldn't have been more than 5 or 6 days that I didn't go over to his house and pray with him and try to encourage him and strengthen him. And of course, we use the name of Jesus. Now, we know that in the name of Jesus, there's healing, right? We know that the name of Jesus is the name that's above every other name. There's no rival. There's no equal. There's no comparison to it. That name is the trump name on this world and that world which is to come. So, if you were to ask me, without me being self-righteous and trying to be a know-it-all, I would have told you from day one I thought the fellow was going to die. I would have told you from day one I thought he was afraid, he was angry, he tried to do right, but he just had stuff that he couldn't face.
That no matter what he said in a confession, it did not overcome the spiritual condition that was in his heart.
That thought's pregnant with truth. So think about that for a bit. It was exhausting, to be honest with you. It was exhausting. It was brutal. It was somewhat even traumatic in some regards. So we had a vacation afterwards. It had already been planned, and so he died like the end of he died Christmas Day. We had a funeral right after the first of the year, and then I think the next week we went to Hawaii. And we were just mentally and spiritually exhausted. Not necessarily disappointed, but we were exhausted. There were a lot of people that were disappointed, but they'd at least seen us trying to stand and strengthen and support him. And so while I was on my vacation, I was reading this portion of scripture there, and I just had it come all over me in a second. Just boom. I had it come all over me that I wished I had never heard anybody say that using the name of Jesus was like using his signature on a check. I don't know if you ever heard anybody say this, but years gone by, it was popular to say that the name of Jesus was like the endorsement on the check. If you just used his name, heaven's resources were available to you. And I said, I wish I'd never heard anybody say that. Now, I'm not saying because I didn't believe. I'm saying because I knew that it caused people to stumble. They thought they could come along and just slap the name of Jesus on top of any idea, any dream, any plan, any thought that they had had. And because they said, in Jesus' name, the most powerful name that's ever been known in humanity, in all of the universe, that because they had slapped that name on there, that automatically they had identified with his purposes and plans and that it was going to come to pass. And we all know that we've all had prayers that we prayed in the name of Jesus that didn't get answered. I'm going to tell you tonight, and I'm going to try and tell you tomorrow if God will give me grace and I won't mess it up, that you can use the name of Jesus and get your prayers answered. But these verses have a whole lot more meaning than just signing a check. Like, you've got to have the right account at the right bank. You've got to start off knowing that it's him who's told you what to draw on. And that's where my friend failed and died. He was not prepared to face his own inadequacies and his own brokenness. He wanted to just be able to come along and use the name of Jesus like it was waving a magic wand and have it work. He wouldn't talk about his illness. He wouldn't talk about his fears or maybe where it came in there. And he just wasn't prepared to sit back and say, maybe I've got some stuff in my own heart that's blocking this healing from coming. And he went so far. He had made people promise to try and raise him from the dead if he died. And they did, and it didn't work, and it was brutal to be around. It was emotionally draining. It was brutal. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but there was nobody ever in the scriptures who was raised from the dead that was actually raised from the dead when there were people of faith and authority there to have kept him from dying to start with. So, like, there's places where people got raised from the dead, but like Jesus always came on the scene after the fact. If you're going to be able to raise somebody from the dead, you'd be able to keep them from dying to start with. And if you can't keep them from dying, then you're not going to be able to raise them from the dead. And if you can't keep them from dying, there might be other issues at stake, like what God's word for your heart and life is, what God's actually saying. There might be more at stake than just hoping that somehow if you say the name of Jesus enough times and you say it in the right way or you get the right people to say it, that it's going to work. There's something about having his word birthed in your heart and presenting that back to him that causes your faith to work.
I liked what Mike said about the identity, about being in Christ, the name of Jesus being in Christ. And Jesus in John's Gospel chapter 17 talked in his prayer about us being one with the Father. So when you are using the name of Jesus, you are literally stepping into a place of expressing the heart and the mind, the will, the purposes, and the destiny of the Father in that name of Jesus. You are absolutely identifying yourself as being one with Jesus in that moment and saying and doing exactly what Jesus would do if Jesus was standing there. So to say in the name of Jesus isn't simply something you can come along and just use as a religious work, as a tradition that many of us have been taught, but rather we need to exercise enough spiritual discernment that we know what the mind of the Lord is before we ever find ourselves in a place of using the name of Jesus. And then we won't be facing so many unanswered prayers or situations that we seemingly aren't able to overcome, because that name is a name above every other name. And it does have all the power that we need to exercise on this earth.
If you were to go buy a house, you sign a contract, and you sign that contract to buy that house, and all the conditions are taken off, and it's going to be worked out, but you don't go just like sign it and get the house that day. There's work that has to take place, and there are lawyers or conveyancing officers or notaries taking care of all the work, and there's working out legal stuff, and you have to go back and you have to sign another document. But that's at the end of it. You put your name on it at the very end of it after you're all completely in agreement about the details. There are some prayers God will answer for you just because you ask. There are things that God does for you that have nothing to do with you having to invoke divine authority. He loves you, and he's going to do good things for you. There's a lot of stuff you can ask for and you'll get, and you don't even have to say anybody's name. I've watched it happen. There are other things, though, that won't work until you press into him and, as Gene said, find out exactly what he's saying. So there needs to be a whole lot more prayer about what he's saying,
right,
and building his truth into our hearts and lives and minds before we ever try and come along and sign that final contract. The reason's this, and Jesus said something to me I didn't say to you. After I said that day, he said to me, on the basis of this scripture, we're going to look at it a bit closer, in a rather angry way, do not ever misuse my name like that again. Because, see, I knew that the fellow had issues in his heart and that he was not going to get healed. I knew that. Now, it turned out that I was right. It's easy for me to say that right now. It turned out that I was right, but I never once said to him, you have to face the conditions of your own heart. You have to turn yourself around. You got to deal with the truth here. This is going to take more than me or two or three of us getting together and just magically chanting that name of Jesus to have this work. We're going to have to be honest with ourselves, because I knew it wasn't going to work, but yet I went ahead and I signed the documents by saying his name in the name of Jesus. Now, if you looked closely at those verses, you saw in that last verse we read that it said, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And if you stop and think about it, that's a grammatically incorrect sentence. You can't ask somebody something in their name and have them do it if it means just to say in the name of Jesus like a signing off. The only way that sentence makes sense, and you know this, is if what it means is if you ask in my name, if you're asking within the realm of my will. If you ask anything within the realm of what I'm doing. The next verse goes on and says, and if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So he's saying, we've got a relationship here. What you're going to do is you're going to ask me, and I'm even going to send you another one to help you keep those commandments and help you to walk in love, because you're going to have to ask for some things in my name that are beyond your ability to bring to pass. You're going to want to ask for some things in my name that you know you're not going to get, but you need to know that phrase within my name means, I think it says in the Amplified, something like presenting all that I am. And there's a lot of times that we pray that we're not presenting back to him all that he is. That's the point of the whole phrase. That's the point of the whole deal. Jesus went on to say to me, and I knew this to be true before he said it. Or at least I guess I did. Maybe if I did, he wouldn't have had to say it. If we're not careful, we convince the people in our community, we convince everybody in our church, we convince everybody in our family in our spiritual world, that the name of Jesus doesn't work, that it doesn't have authority, anytime we use it frivolously. Anytime we just use it to say it and it doesn't come to pass, we just shrug it off and say, oh, well, it didn't work this time. What they're all hearing, what they're all seeing, is that that name is weak. That name is not powerful like we claim it to be. But yet we know that name is powerful. We need to be wise and discreet. We need to be determined to use it. But we need to be wise and discreet and not misuse it and just throw it around like it was the magic answer for whatever came into our thoughts, our hearts, our minds at the same time. We need to be able, before we can even use that name, we need to be able to say to ourselves, this is what's within the name. This is what he's wanting to do right here, right now. And I would dare say that probably in our own existence, in our own lives, most of us probably don't really know what his will, what his word for our life is. And we need to know that. Now you might say it's his will for me to be healed. Can I get a witness?
Yes, yes.
So it's his will for you to be healed, but there's a further question. Why is it his will for you to be healed? Is it just because he likes you? That'd be great if it didn't have to go any farther than that, but why are you here on the earth? There's a purpose you're here. There's something you're supposed to do. There's a role you're supposed to play. There's a word for your life that contains a promise. But listen plainly. The word for your life is more than a promise. The word for your life is a condition. It's a requirement that if you live that word, there are promises that come to you from it. But to live our life as men and women of faith who think that we're using our faith to believe for God's blessings and benefits to come to us completely short circuits his intent and plan for leaving us here on the earth to start with. There's something about my life and your life that's within the name of Jesus. There's a reason you live in Kamloops. There's a reason you come to this body of believers and you've connected yourself. It's not simply for fellowship. It's not simply because you like the style of worship or because you love the people. It's not just that. There's something that's in his eternal plan. It's in his eternal purpose for the group, for the individuals that participate in the group. There's something about what he's wanting to do that you have to know, because it shapes all of the other questions you'll ask him. It'll change all the other things that you do. It'll change why you do them. It'll change why you come to the meetings. I just thought of this when I sit down here. I'm sorry.
can I make a note here? Absolutely. If you go back to John 14, verse 12, you'll notice that he says, when you believe in me, the works that I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. And then come back down to verse 15. David's already referred to this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Most of us live our Christian experience looking for what God will do for us. We're looking for the blessings that will come into our life and make us have a more comfortable existence on this earth and lose sight of the fact that we are here to be about the Father's business. So using the name of Jesus is going to have something to do with always extending the will and the purposes of God, right?
Yeah.
So God wants healthy, prosperous individuals so they can be about the Father's business, right? So they can be about doing the greater works that Jesus did, so that you and I can individually be the expression of Jesus on this earth, whether we're in school, whether we're on the job, wherever we're at in our day, we are the visible expression of Jesus Christ on this earth. And so when we are about the Father's business, doing the part that we've been assigned at the place that we've been assigned, we have the ability to do and use this name in a way that will accomplish the works that he's ordained for that day. very personal, very specific, very purposeful in our life. So greater works, you can ask in my name. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So every day of our life, we've got a direction that God wants us going. We've got a place God wants us to be. We've got people that God wants us to connect with to do something significant to extend his kingdom in his name. Doing greater works. Amen.
I said, I just wish I hadn't heard anybody say that. My feelings weren't hurt. I knew there was a whole lot more to it. I intuitively knew everything I'm already saying to you. It wasn't like any of it was a surprise to me, just like it's not to you. He said, don't you ever misuse my name like that again. Now, here's the third thing. Here's the third exchange. I said, Lord, that's what everybody expects. Besides, you know that that fellow would have been madder than hell at me if I would have said to him that I'm not going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. You know he would have had a fit. He said, yes, I know that would not have gone well. He said, but has it ever occurred to you that if you would stand in the breach and tell somebody what the limits of that name were, it might give him one more chance to stop and reflect and ask themselves if there was something they needed to change. He said it was me that you let down there, because I wanted to use you to step into his heart and make him face himself. But because you let him continue on and play the game, he never had to face himself. Now, maybe he never would have faced himself. Maybe he would have made me leave. He had made me leave before. Maybe he would have made me leave. Maybe he would have never spoken to me again. And I wouldn't have wanted to have been the guy to stand up and explain to the church how I made a sick, dying guy mad and he wouldn't let me pray for him. But I wasn't afraid of anybody. I was just trying to be what everybody thought the right thing to be was, like the emergency room doctor trying to keep the guy alive. I didn't think it was my fault he died. I was trying to keep him alive. But what I failed to do was let God put me in a position where at my own personal risk, I had to say to him, I can't do this because I know there are issues you have not faced. Now, that coupled with the idea that we're teaching people and we're learning ourselves that we're just being superstitious about that tremendous virtuous name, that we're training our children to think that it's nothing more than the sign off at a prayer at dinner time, that we're teaching our children that while we say with our mouths, when we teach, when we talk, that to say in the name of Jesus carries all the weight and the authority of heaven on earth, that in point of fact we already have a smooth acceptance of sometimes it's just not going to work and nobody really understands why. Can I get a witness? So we don't do it willingly. There's, you know,
we don't give a willing witness here.
No.
Can I get a witness? Not willingly.
That is a thought, isn't it? Maybe this doesn't resonate with you like it did with me. And I don't have any recollection that I've had to tell anybody since then that I wouldn't pray with them in the name of Jesus. But I had to make a decision that day that I wasn't going to pray about anything other than in my own name, hey, can I have a sandwich? I wasn't going to pray about anything other than in my own name, anything that I had to invoke heaven's authority on, unless I was sure that beyond the surface of it, that heaven's authority was going to represent and back up. I had to begin to retrain myself and the congregation that we serve, the people we work with, that to use the name of Jesus was something that you did after consideration. It was something you did after thought. It wasn't something that you did casually or frivolously, because the effect, like walking on the carpet after you come outside, you know you've done this. Like, I don't see any signs of it here, but you know, in my world, I grew up when we all wore our shoes in the house. In fact, where I grew up, to see this many people sit around the house with their shoes off was rather rude. It was rude to like come in the house and take your shoes off. It's like, what, are you going to stay? You're never going home. What's happening here? I don't want to see your feet. I don't want to see your feet. Put your clothes on and be ready to leave at a moment's notice. Just none of this. So what you tended to have in my world growing up, in those days at least, was people would swipe off the bottom of their feet on the mat when they came in. But you could tell after a period of time that even if they didn't have any big mud or grit or anything on their shoes, that eventually there would be a little trail worn in the carpet that was stained and really would never come, it never would come completely clean, because it was worn into the carpet. There are things that we do with our own heart and with our own mind where we erode the confidence that we're supposed to have in that name, because we don't use it advisedly. We don't use it understanding and in a committed place of agreement that I'm not going to misuse that name. I'm only going to use it when I know that what I'm asking is within the will of God for this particular case. So that we go through life undermining our own confidence, undermining our own salvation, enjoying the fruit of fellowship with each other's company, but not necessarily living that life for Him, where we're sure that when we say that name, when we invoke that name, that what He has said is going to come to pass is going to come to pass. And we need to not do that. We need to use the name of Jesus, but not because we're hoping that somehow, sometime, this one sticks against the wall and it works. We need to use it because we know when we do use it, we're standing up in all of heaven's authority, standing behind us to use it. There'll be things that you have to spend more time, more work, more effort to go do. You're going to have to find out. I should have and I could have put myself in a place where I went to the brother and said, I could have and I should have put myself in a place where I would have come back to him and by the Spirit of God been able to reach into his heart with just a little bit of love, with a little bit of prayer, overflowing by the Spirit of God. I could have reached into his heart and said, you know, I love you, buddy. I'm crying on your shoulder here, but I know what's wrong on the inside of you. I know where it went wrong. Let's work this out and you'll get healed. He's not the only one. I don't want to just regale you with bad stories, but one fella just fell on my shoulder crying and said, I know where this came into my life, but he said, it's been there so long I can't change it. I don't know what to do. He died of cancer as well. He said, I don't know what to do to get free of it. I said, all you can do at this point, once it's got that far, once it's got to cancer, to turn around and think that you're going to just take 8 or 10 people or 20 people and hit it here a little bit or a little bit there and reverse it. It does happen. It's miraculous when it does happen, but it is the exception and not the rule. By the time it gets to that point, there were questions that should have been asked a long time ago, that a whole lot of water flowing a certain direction at a certain velocity has got to be reversed. It's going to take a whole lot more prayer than just coming along and signing something in the name of Jesus. It's going to take a changing of some circumstance or something in somebody's heart and life so that they're walking in the name of Jesus, so that it's within the realm of his will for their life, so that it's not just a matter of it. Does Jesus like for you to be healed? Yes. Does Jesus like for you to prosper? Yes. Absolutely, it's his will. But if I live a life of refusal to obey, if I harden my heart and refuse to obey for so many years that I no longer retain the control, that I've been doing it, and I'm 65, that I've been doing it for so long that I can't change my mind, You're talking about swimming upstream. It's going to be a tough ride. And I'm just not wanting to discredit him. God forgive me. I'm not wanting to say that it doesn't work. It does work. I'm not saying he won't do a miracle. He will do miracles.
That's right.
But if you have to come to the place and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I say this in the name of Jesus. Then that's what you got to do. But it's far better. It's far better to know that you're walking inside the context of that name. And then what you're asking for is his will.
Yes.
This minute in this case.
Yes.
And that if it's not, you're going to reach into the situation through prayer, through faith,
yes,
through the word of God, and find out what he's saying.
Yes.
About this exact moment, this exact occasion, so he can work on your behalf.
Yes.
You have anything else to say?
Well, I'm just thinking about how much better it is to do it like that.
Here,
and then you're confident about what you're asking or what you're trying to do is something that he has already showed you is his will. And this is the way he wants to do that. So you step out on that, and you've got, it's not like you're trying to work up faith and believe God.
That's
you've
right.
got a,
That's right.
You've got a confidence
That's right.
that God has revealed this to you. And so Jesus on the earth lived out that confidence. He said, I don't ever do anything that I haven't first of all seen my Father do, and I'm not saying anything that I haven't first of all seen my Father say or hear my Father say. So if we live a lifestyle that practices that same kind of relationship with our Father, you can see how everything that we do in every day would be an extension of that kind of relationship. So it's not like, oh gosh, I got to work up my faith so I can believe
right.
God about this
it's
situation.
Easy.
It's
easy. It's
just literally flowing out of that divine relationship you have with the Father. So you turn left, you turn right. You're walking in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, doing the things that he has ordained for you to do. And so you are literally living in the name of Jesus, so identified with him that he truly is being expressed through our earthen vessels, and he is being glorified. I was thinking about the scripture in Jeremiah where the Lord's speaking to Jeremiah about chosen. Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I've created you. Deborah began to share the scripture out of Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. Chosen, formed, knew you, appointed you, separated you. Every one of us have that place of destiny and purpose ordained by God to do the works of God. And then he said to Jeremiah, don't say you're anything less than that. Don't identify with what you feel or what you perceived or past failures or anything other than the fact that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen.
I said all that because I got it in my mind, got it in my heart, that there are people, there's somebody here amongst us who has lost confidence in that name, that they find themselves maybe not having lost complete confidence. I don't want to say that you're in unbelief about who he is. I simply mean that when you stand and when you pray and when you seal that name in the name of Jesus, when you seal that prayer, when you say it, you're tormented because you don't believe your prayer is going to come to pass. You're convinced that you can't answer for what's happened before, what's led you to this place, and so you know you're going through the form of it, you're saying and doing the right things, but you're still not at peace when you sign off on the name of Jesus. And I'm not saying that you're praying wrong. I have no reason to doubt you're not praying right. I'm saying that you've eroded your own confidence in that name. You've eroded your own faith in that name. And I believe that the Lord Jesus wants to absolutely set you free, so that when you sign that name, when you say in the name of Jesus, that you've satisfied yourself, as Gene said, that you're confident We know that if we ask anything in His will, that we've already received it. In His name, in His will, that you've nailed it down tight. You know, you did your due diligence. You did your work. You know, not just based on how you feel or what your circumstances are or on some superficial reading of any one verse, but on the truth of it as the Spirit speaks to your heart about your situation, about your life, that He's going to bring it to pass, because you need that answer of peace in your heart. You need to be able to trust your own prayers. You need to be able to trust your own judgment. After a while, it's not about what His name can or can't do, because if we believe in His name, all things are possible. But if we just say His name and don't believe in it, then it's not likely they're going to come to pass.
Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Apart from me, you can do nothing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do invoke your name. We do come to you in that matchless name. Nothing compares to that name. There's no rival. There's no equal. We honor the name. We bless the name. We trust the name. We have hope in that name. And Father, right now in that name, I say that we all are determined to walk in obedience and faithfulness, that we are all determined to pursue your word, to pursue your will, to pursue what you're saying to be done in any given minute, and not just to be presumptuous and add our own thoughts, even at our own scriptures. Jesus, the Pharisee spoke to you, and you said to him, you think you can find eternal life in the scripture, but that life only comes from me, and yet they refuse to come to me. We don't refuse to come to you.
No.
We know that life is in you. We know that the word lays out the boundaries for it, but we know that it's your yes and amen. It's your truth telling that causes something to come to pass. So I speak grace, I speak release, I speak peace to every heart and to every mind, and I declare there's no condemnation, there's no guilt, there's no regrets, but that tormenting, deceptive spirit that's moved in to say that it really doesn't work, I say His power is broken, and from this day forward, we are all determined to search diligently after your heart, your will, and your mind to do all of your purposes. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I was going to pray for you individually, but I think it just broke. I think something just broke. So let's just give Him the glory and the thanks, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. We rejoice in you, Lord, for what you start. We know you finish it. Teach us to pray. Teach us to stand. Teach us to walk in your name, to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. May we ask that which is in your name, that you may do it. You said you would do it. You said you would do it. So I ask that you grant whatever that prayer was, supernaturally quickly, spectacularly quickly, that you cause divine peace to fill that heart, to fill that soul, so their trust is openly and knowingly in you. We do ask this in Jesus' name, knowing it to be your perfect will. You work, and nobody stops you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You done, sweetie?